Good morning. The reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she went over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Okay, this is the moment where the minister needs to feel vulnerable as he's looking out at his people and thinking, is anybody listening? I wonder that more Sundays, by the way. That's another thing. This is a time for you to share. Mary was called by name and she responded. She'd encountered her risen Lord Jesus. I want to give you now an opportunity. Let me get a microphone. And I want to give you an opportunity to just come up and share what it is knowing Jesus is alive, what that means for you. Oh, thank you, Dad.
Have you thought of that walk that Mary and the other ladies took that morning? Why had they gone so early? Was it because of fear? I was reflecting on this. They wanted to do what they had to do because legally they needed to do certain things for the body and they hadn't been able to do it on the Friday nights. So this was the first opportunity. But was it because they kept looking over their shoulders to see if they were being followed? It was a walk because of legalism. But once they found the empty tomb and once Jesus had appeared, what they were doing, what they had been wanting to do, because it was routine. And if you're my age, as a child, you were perhaps taken to church and you did things legalistically because it was expected. But the change was the risen Jesus was my saviour. And it was the same for Mary and the other ladies. So they were changed.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you. I think it's always brave to be the first one to come up, isn't it? Sarah, come on up. God bless you again.
Thank you. So many of you may know, my father was killed before I was born. So I grew up without a father. But when I met Jesus, he opened the way to find my father in heaven. Father has given me everything I've ever wanted. Well, everything I've ever needed, that's for sure. And he's given me more than I could have ever dreamt possible. And yes, I've had to work hard, but my strivings have been nothing in terms of what I've achieved, but what my Father in heaven has encouraged me to do and led me to do, and the things that he's given my husband, my children, my friends, my family. Those my Father in heaven has given me, and I am so thankful to Jesus for leading me to him.
Oh dear, doesn't it fill your heart? It just does. Dave, coming forward, I've got somebody over on the right as well. I just love hearing people's testimonies, Dave.
I just want to thank God for Jesus, the Jesus that saved me, the Jesus that made me a new creation, the Jesus that's sanctifying me, still a work in progress, and the Jesus that's praying for me. How wonderful is it when family and friends pray for you? They're imperfect prayers. But Jesus is interceding for us, for you and me right now. How wonderful is that? And he knows exactly what to pray for. And the Jesus that's preparing a place for me. This same Jesus that with a word created this great universe of ours. And he's been over 2,000 years and it's not finished yet. And he's preparing a place for me. So how wonderful is that going to be? I thank God and I thank Jesus too for providing me with such a godly partner. One who comforts me, encourages me, reins me in when I'm going astray. Yeah, she's my rock. And as well, something else that's so precious that the Lord has provided, and that's my family, my church family. How precious it is to our fellowship. Amen. Where we come together, helps me grow, disciplines me, encourages me, and loves me. So how wonderful is that? My father used to say to me, I'm so blessed, I feel like that I'm God's spoilt boy. I know that feeling. His mantle has fallen on me.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Thank you so much. Oriel.
I'm a chatterbox. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. But this is scary up here, so don't be afraid. If you feel that the Lord is asking you to come up, you come up. Anyhow, I just want to share with you that I became a Christian when I was 7, and I'm 82 now. So you can work out the maths, because I can't. I tried to work it out on my fingers, and I'm dyslexic with maths. Haven't got a clue. But I came to the Lord when I was 7. And that was on the 11th of April, 19 whatever. I don't remember. Anyhow, I'm also a cancer survivor too. And one of the exciting things that the Lord has promised in his word is my presence shall go with you. And I just hold on to that, because another promise he's given me is my time is in his hands. And that's a lovely promise too. God bless.
Thank you, Jesus, for loving my heart. Thank you, Jesus, for living in my heart.
I want to ask you to applaud for that. Thank you. Oh, there's one more wanting to come and share. So please, let's make room for this young lady.
Thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for loving Callum, for loving Mommy and Daddy.
Put your hands together, please. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Sean. Sorry, musicians. It's that flexible bit, okay? So,
we love it. We love
come
it.
On, Sean. Come on, my mate.
As a lot of you know that I've had cancer twice, and it's a miracle that I'm still here, and it's because of Jesus I'm still here. So I've got a great purpose, and I'm looking forward to see what it brings me.
I've got two verses of scripture to share with you all. I thought I'd be doing this in Cardiff Prison this morning. Sandra and I have come straight from there to be with you this morning, but it wasn't for them, it was for you here this morning. And the first verse I'd like to share with you is Joel chapter 3, verse 2. God will repay the years that the locusts have eaten. He did that for me. 34 years ago, I was an alcoholic. I don't find it easy to stand up here and say that word. But to God be the glory. Great things he has done. If it wasn't for divine intervention, in 1986, on June the 20th, I wouldn't be standing here now. I'd be dead. Long, long gone. But Jesus came into my life in a mighty powerful way. I didn't go to church. I hadn't been going to church. I wasn't brought up in a Christian family. I was in a terrible state. I was in a really bad way. I tried several times to end my life. And then I'd wake up and think, God, well, God, why am I still here? It was a living hell. I don't know whether any of you here might resonate with that or might know someone that would. If so, please tell them. And we've told the guys in prison this, that there is a way out. There is a way to stop. I tried everything. Nothing worked. But then Jesus just came into my life. It was incredible. I was baptized here by John James. Must be 35 years ago, and my life has changed out of all recognition. I've been in prison fellowship. I haven't been in prison. Well, I have, but I always come out. And Sandra's joined me this morning. It's been great to celebrate Easter with guys who are desperate, you know, desperate for a change. And it's such a privilege to be there and do that. So my finishing verse of scripture is this. It's Ephesians 5:18. Cast your eyes up there. Do not get drunk on wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Our lives, he just changes them. And I love the verse that Elle shared with us a little bit earlier from John 10:10. At the front end of that verse, it's a very much a verse of two halves. In the front half of that verse, you've got the job description of our enemy, to steal, kill, destroy. Jesus says, I've come that you may have an abundant life. Amen. Judy.
Okay, when I was 39, around about that time, I guess I was pretty successful. I sort of achieved all my ambitions. I was quite well off. I had a really well-paid job. And my life was very much about instant gratification and taking lots of risks. Looking back on that time, I didn't have integrity, and I didn't have any spiritual hope. And and it was around about that time that Jesus called. He didn't send me off on like a crossroads, like a quick about turn. What he actually did was he turned my life completely around, but it was more like a curve. So it was very gentle. It was just a little bit of time. And it's only looking back on that that I can see how different, how much hope, how I lived my life by integrity, how actually the values that I used to have don't matter anymore.
I'd like to say this to the children that are here this morning. Like Oriel, Jesus actually came into my life when I was 5. I became aware of him because, I'm going to tell you now, I have 2 songs. One song is, all the old people like me will know it, it went like this. Tell me the stories of Jesus, I love to hear. Don't you know it? Oh, I was going to say, you should have come to my Sunday school. We used to sing it all the time. And Jesus came into my life because of all the stories that I was told about him when I went to Sunday school. And also because my parents were Christians as well. And it was those stories that really helped me because I knew I loved this man. I didn't know how to sort of express it, but I just knew I loved this man. And all of those stories really, really helped me when I was a little girl growing up, when my friends would fall out with me and say nasty things, when sometimes, you know, people would sort of do things and I'd think that wasn't very nice. And also sometimes when, you know, people in the family used to fall out and I never used to know why and it used to upset me. And I would say, keep listening to those stories. So the other song I've got in my head is, Nobody Does It Better. And nobody does it better than Jesus. So when you grow up and you get all of these things again in the grown-up world, people that you can't trust, people that let you down, people that really hurt you, whether it's friends or people in your family, when you have really terribly sad times when people are ill or, you know, when really people that you love die and you're in this space where you don't know what to do about it or what to do in terms of helping other people to be better, it is Jesus that does it the best. It is Jesus that will walk by you and somehow he will, because he loves you, he will find a way of comforting you. So I had the most extraordinary experience ever one night where there'd been some really awful, terrible things that had gone on and I was really tired and I heard this voice. I woke up and I heard this voice say to me, "You are loved." So I can say, you are loved, because if God loves me, I can tell you, he loves every single person in this room. So, yeah, nobody does it better.
Oh, right, okay, Anne, come on up. Thank you.
Anyone that knows me knows I love an old hymn. And Easter for me is summed up in 2 old hymns. The first one is Man of Sorrows. What a name for the Son of God who came ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And Jesus is a Savior because he's perfect and he's holy and he died and he rose again. But then there's even greater, the other hymn that sums Easter up for me is this one. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Saviour, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. I love this chorus. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. So Jesus isn't just a saviour. And he can be your saviour today if he isn't already. But he's my saviour. And I can't remember exactly when I became a Christian. And I haven't had any amazing experiences and be saved from a life of terrible sin. But when I was 13, I was baptised. And I chose as my song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Have I always been brilliant at it? No. But Jesus is my saviour. So through all the ups and downs and the things of life, he's been there. So I just hope and pray that you know him too. But on this wonderful Easter day, hallelujah, what a saviour.
Thank you, Anne. That's really... okay. Julie.
Hi, everyone. I find the beginning of April quite a hard time for me. And the reason is because I'm an only child, as many of you know, but the beginning of April reminds me of the death of both my parents. One died last week, and one died a week or so to come. And I find it quite a hard time of the year because of that. And I felt when my mum died, and that was last week, 21 years ago, I found extremely lonely. A couple of weeks afterwards, we went away on a church weekend, and I felt extremely lonely. I know I'm married, I know I got children, but I felt really, really lonely. And then a word came to me. I will not leave you as an orphan. And I love that. God says, I will not leave you as an orphan. He will not let me go, and he did not let me go, and he will never let me go. I'm so grateful for that, to know God's promise to that. But it reminds me, particularly at Easter, of promises that we make sometimes, but that God promises to us. And it reminds me that we've got a cross behind me. He's not on the cross anymore. He's forgiven me my sin. He's risen from the dead. We've got a tomb we could go to in Jerusalem this morning, but it's empty, isn't it? Because we've got eternal life. He's risen from the dead. And we read this morning about grave clothes. And it reminds me I've got a personal relationship with Jesus. The grave clothes have been taken off and have been taken away. I said, April's not a good time for me, the beginning of the month anyway. But praise God for today. Jesus is alive. He's alive forevermore. And he's my saviour. And he's your saviour too, if you've trusted him.
We're going to close in a moment. Otherwise your roast potatoes are going to spoil, I think. Can I just say thank you for giving us the best sermon I've heard since coming here. You see, Easter's about something so personal and so powerful. You see, our testimonies are so desperately needed amongst our family and our friends and our neighbours. Let's let them know that this love, this hope, this forgiveness, this healing is available for them. Our Easter is a time of celebration because we know all that God has done for us. Let's spread that news. I've been your pastor now for about 16 months, but I have a pastor, and his name is John James. And John is with us this morning. And John, I'd like you to come forward, and I'd like you to close our time with a word of prayer. We're going to sing again in a moment, but I'd like you to lead us, John, if I may. Can I just say, I count it a great privilege knowing this man. And he has faithfully led this church over many years. But we've known each other for over 20 years. And we meet regularly for prayer. And so it's a great privilege to, John, invite you now up here. Please lead us in prayer as we close our time this morning. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I was known once as John Hallelujah James. I went to speak at the University Hospital of Wales at the Christian Union. And in the foyer, there was a big sign saying, the speaker today at the Christian Union is John Hallelujah James. I don't apologize for having that middle name. My middle name really is Christian. which is pretty good, isn't it? But hallelujah, which means praise the Lord, is another. So, Father God, we thank you today for the gift of Jesus. What's been on my heart all morning is Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. We thank you for that love that is eternal, never ending, never gets less, can't get more, because you love us eternally and abundantly. And we say thank you, Jesus. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to smile on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
May God bless you as you leave this place, and thank you for the blessing that you've been this morning, and may you have the most precious of Easters. God bless you. Bye-bye.